Welcome back to Thyroid Strong Podcast, the podcast for high-performing women with Hashimoto's who are ready to lift heavy, heal the root causes, and feel strong without the crash. I'm Dr. Emily Kybird, and today we are talking about one of the most overlooked but most common root causes I see in my one-on-one clients. And this is very, very taboo to talk about in the States. Everyone here thinks no one has these, but they do. Massively underdiagnosed, and that is parasites. And it's not just the kind of parasites that you pick up traveling abroad. I'm talking about Giardia, Blastocystis hominis, hookworm, roundworm, whipworm, the kind that are silently draining your energy. They can inflame your gut and they can block your entire body actually from building muscle. So we are going to frame this conversation around muscle and protein and parasites. Parasites are way more common than you think. And I know for us in the States and maybe in Europe or Australia, it is super taboo to talk about. In developing countries, people will give their kids a parasite cleanse or parasite medication before they go to school twice a year. So kids in other countries are cleansed of parasites twice a year. That is the standard. But know this, if you're in the States, you do not need to leave the States to get a parasite. I've seen this quote. I think it's true. If you have a pulse, you probably have a parasite. If you have a pet, you definitely have a parasite. These infections are way more common than most people think. I see them all the time on a qPCR test called a GI map. I also see them on a separate parasite test that I use that's even more specific that we'll talk about. And this is what I see. Women who are lifting weights, they're eating quote unquote clean, they're tracking their macros, and they still feel bloated, like brain foggy, and full body inflammation. So if you're in the States, you may be asking, well, Em, where the heck would I pick up a parasite here? Number one, biting your nails. Biting your nails can transfer any sort of parasitic eggs that live under doorknobs, gym equipment, public spaces, into your nails and transfer those into your mouth. So if you touch those things and then bite your nails, you are giving them an easy entry right into the mouth, right into the digestive system. If you have a pet, pets like dogs, cats, even snakes, other kind of pets can carry hookworm, roundworm, and more. So letting your pet lick your face, sleep in your bed, cleaning their litter box without washing your hands after. Every time I see a pet lick their owner on Instagram, I'm like, oh, that person has a parasite. So it just increases the risk. Number three would be undercooked or raw meat, especially pork, beef, or freshwater fish. Super common for sources of roundworm and tapeworm. And technically, you would want to cook your meat to well done. I know very few people who will cook their meat to well done. I still like mine a little bit more in the medium rare, but then I also test myself. So I personally do not cook my meat to well done if my fish is definitely cooked fully and my pork, but I don't really eat pork. But beef should be cooked well done if you don't want parasites. Number four would be unwashed produce, especially if it is fertilized with animal manure and handled at a farm stand. So unwashed produce, or even just like taking the produce and putting it under the water and kind of splashing it around, that is not washing your produce, my friends. A thorough washing, and we can talk about what this looks like later in the episode, but a thorough washing is required to remove any sort of worms or parasites or bugs. Walking outdoors barefoot. I know there's this big movement of like grounding with the earth. Well, what happens is hookworm larvae can penetrate the skin, especially in places that are warm and they have like moist soil, and they can go through the feet and enter the bloodstream. So these are not exotic risks. These are everyday exposures that can become invisible stressors, especially for the Hashi ladies when they go undiagnosed. If any of those things you are doing, not washing your produce, walking barefoot, undercooked meat, biting your nails, kissing your pet, you just said, oh my goodness, that might be me. And I've done all the things to help improve my Hashimoto symptoms, then jump on a call with me. Let's jump on a call. Let's see how we can work together to get those out of you properly. Because parasitic infections, you can be doing all the things. And if they are still living in there, you are not going to feel good. All right. How do parasites steal your strength? Right. So now we're taking parasitic infection and we're talking about it as it relates to muscle and protein, because most of the women I work with are lifting weights, they're eating protein, they're doing the do. but they're still not losing the weight. So parasites are not just a gut problem. They are a metabolism problem. When you have a parasitic infection, they can steal your nutrient absorption. They can steal nutrients like iron, B12, amino acids. And what does that look like in your body? Your thyroid will then have fewer raw materials to work with to give you energy. Your recovery from your workouts, probably not so great. Your body will break down muscle instead of building it if you are not absorbing the nutrients that you need because you have a parasitic infection blocking that absorption. So if you are hitting your workouts, you're eating right, but you're still gaining fat and losing tone, parasites could be quietly at play. We know that protein is so important, like a non-negotiable when it comes to building muscle and getting your energy back with Hashimoto's. Protein isn't enough if you can't absorb it, right? It's not only what you're eating, but what you're absorbing from it. So some of my clients are eating like 130 to 150 grams of protein per day, but they're still not keeping their muscle mass on. And one of the things that we find as an underlying trigger is that if you have a parasite, it can suppress the production of your stomach acid. And if you don't have enough stomach acid, you are not going to break down your food. If you're not breaking down your food, you're not absorbing the nutrients from your food. If you have a parasite, you can have reduced enzyme output, which then can lead to not breaking down your food. You could have damage in that mucosal layer, the mucosal layer, that layer in your gut where absorption actually happens. And if you have damage there and you have gut permeability or leaky gut, you are not going to be absorbing the nutrients from your food that you need for thyroid conversion, for muscle growth. Other things that can happen with a parasitic infection, you can swing between constipation and diarrhea. We call this consteria. Well, when that happens, you are probably having slow motility due to the constipation and then quick motility with the diarrhea. Your body is like evacuating. And that can also prevent proper absorption of your nutrients. I've seen people who have a parasitic infection, and this is not related to muscle mass, but just important to know, have skin issues. Psoriasis, which is an autoimmune disease, but can also be very commonly driven by parasites. Eczema. I used to have eczema on my hand, which is very problematic as a chiropractor who uses their hands all day. That would come and go with my cycle, did not change no matter what foods I cut out. When I addressed a parasite, that eczema went away. A chronic cough, where some people are assuming it's a long COVID cough. Well, there is a certain parasite called Ascaris lumbricoides, a large roundworm that can actually travel through your diaphragm, from your intestine, through your diaphragm, up to your lungs, and then have eggs in your lungs, which then causes this chronic cough. Other potential symptoms that are not related to muscle would be abdominal pain, bloating, gas, nausea, seeing mucus in your stool, food intolerances that come and go or are not better with an elimination diet, or just ongoing food intolerances that no matter what you do, they stick around. When you are addressing food, if you keep cutting out foods for months and months and months and years, it's probably not the food. It's probably something else going on, like a parasitic infection. So if you're doing the work, you're eating all the right foods, but your body isn't using it properly, it's not absorbing the nutrients properly, especially from protein, parasites could be the block in that absorption pipeline. So let's talk about parasites as it relates to thyroid flares and this kind of idea of molecular mimicry or autoimmune confusion. For women with Hashimoto's, parasites are this trifecta, this triple threat. So one, they increase intestinal permeability, also known as leaky gut. They can trigger this idea of molecular mimicry or immune confusion, where the parasites are causing this inflammation, which can then make the body think that it is attacking the thyroid. And then the third trifecta is that there's stress on the body's detox systems and your nervous system, which can all lead to more bloating, more fatigue, an increase in thyroid antibodies, even when you're taking your thyroid meds and following a clean eating or elimination diet protocol. So where do we start to pick up parasites? It is not just a stool test. You can use blood markers that can indicate parasites. So if you get a CBC with a differential, most doctors just order a CBC. They don't order with a differential. You can look at your eosinophil count. If your eosinophils are elevated above a certain number, typically a 3, there is a potential for a possible parasitic infection. You want to look at this marker with other markers. For example, low ferritin, low iron saturation, especially when supplementation is not helping. Low total protein or albumin may reflect malabsorption or intestinal damage. Low B12, even if you're eating red meat or you're supplementing, typical parasites could be Giardia or roundworm driving down that B12. We always look at B12 with a marker called methylmalonic acid, MMA. MMA looks at your B12 getting pushed into the cell. B12 on labs just shows the B12 floating in your bloodstream. So you want to look at both in relationship to one another. So if you're seeing low iron, high eosinophils, persistent nutrient deficiencies, and your symptoms are not resolving, that's when I move forward to a GI map. A GI map is a DNA-based qPCR testing. It detects the DNA of parasites, alive or dead. It shows how much of the parasite is present. So there is a quantitative marker in that. It picks up low levels of infections missed by potentially other tests. So other markers, other than just an actual protozoa or helminth, a worm on the test, you can look at eosinophil activation protein. It is a marker that shows are there parasites. Low secretory IgA. Secretory IgA is a marker to tell us the soldiers, the army, the first line of immune defense in your gut, is it low? That means you probably had a chronic infection and have been fighting something off for a while. Elevated beta-glucuronidase. This is a protein that shows how hard you're pushing your detox pathways. And when this is elevated, there are multiple potential root causes for this, including estrogen dominance. But one of the things we put on there is mold exposure as well as parasitic infection. So we tap into a GI map. The GI map is good. No stool test is perfect. Our intestines are 30 feet long. You collect a stool sample that's 5 inches long, maybe. And I also like to tap into a more specific test using microscopy, where you're actually plating the stool and looking for eggs and worms and parasites under a microscope. Different than picking up the DNA strains on a qPCR test like a GI map. So I have found microscopy. There's one test that tests about 38 different protozoa and helminths, and that one can pick up things that a GI map may miss. So if a parasite isn't shedding in that stool sample, there could be a false negative, hence a false negative on a GI map. Many clients come to me saying my stool test was clean, and then we use this microscopy test and we find multiple parasites. So this level of precision is what changes everything when I work with my one-on-one clients using testing that other functional medicine docs don't use. And people go from feeling fatigued and frustrated, like, I've done all the things, I've done all the stool tests, all the protocols, all the supplements, to actually getting clarity because we're using a more specific test and healing, finally. So if you're that woman who is feeling inflamed, puffy, not recovering properly, stuck in a body that refuses to respond, even though you're doing all the right things, this might be what's missing because you can't out-supplement or out-train a parasite. This is why I offer one-on-one thyroid strong functional medicine coaching, where we run the right labs. We interpret them clinically and then build a personalized plan that includes dialing in how you're eating, how you're working out in a thyroid-friendly way, gut support and nervous system regulation, and actually using the proper testing. So if you're like, oh my God, this could be me, go ahead, apply. I'm going to drop a link in the show notes and let's test, not guess, and finally get to the root cause of what's keeping you tired, inflamed, and stuck. If you have a girlfriend that you might think have a parasite, send them this episode. And if you like this episode, rate and review on your favorite podcast platform, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. All right, ladies, I will see you next week.